For Ephesians chapter number 4, and we look forward to continuing tonight in our series on a spiritually healthy church and on spiritual church health. And we've looked at several aspects. We have another one tonight. It is our desire not to be necessarily a large church, not to be a well-known church, but to be a spiritually healthy church. I want to be a place where people can come and get the help that they need. And I want us to be as strong of a church as we can. And how do we do that? That means each and every one of us, we just determine to be as spiritually healthy as we can. We evaluate our own prayer life. We evaluate our own witness. We evaluate our own testimony. We evaluate our own walk with the Lord and be as spiritually healthy as we possibly can. And if we look at another aspect tonight, I'm not going to take too much time in review because I have a lot I want to get to. Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11, and we're going to read down through verse number 16, Ephesians 4, starting with verse number 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Talking about the local church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, it's very important, I'll point this out, the progression here. He's telling the church what he has given them. He's telling them in verse number 11 what that gift is for. And I remind you, your pastor is a gift from God to you. And there are no returns, by the way. Verse 12, what those gifts are, the gift is for. In verse 13, the purpose. Look, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let me just make a little commentary here. By the sleight of men, the moving of the hands, the sleight of men. Now, who are you most vulnerable to? Are you more vulnerable to the sleight of a man, of a Catholic priest, or of an independent Baptist pastor? Is that which is closest to us, that sounds like us, but it's still maybe saying, Pastor, you're an independent, not me. But we got to be careful of the influences that are out there. Number 15, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Tonight I want to look at this passage, and we'll get to whatever we can get to tonight. If I need to cut it off, I'll cut it off. But there's so much in this passage of Scripture. A spiritually healthy church equips the saints. A spiritually healthy church equips the saints. There's more than you, the church is designed for more than you just coming and getting an experience and going home. The church has a purpose to equip the child of God to do the work of God. The work of God is not just for the pastor. We are to equip the saints. Father, help us tonight as we look into your word once again. May this help us to be a spiritually healthy church. May we grow. May we understand a little better tonight the purpose you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've said it before in this series, and I'll say it again tonight, that if we're going to be spiritually healthy and as healthy as we can be, the church is not intended for a few people to be doing everything. We ought to be preparing everybody to grow, serve, and strengthen the body of Christ. And by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that takes patience on people. It's not a good thing, mom and dad, if your child, well, let me do it myself. If you're doing everything yourself, you're not teaching that child how to do it. But they're taking forever. They're learning. The same is true with a Christian. Sometimes we get frustrated with new Christians. We get frustrated. Well, they should know better. Well, it's not up for you to decide whether or not they should know better. We should be patient because we want everyone. And by the way, some of you have felt this a little bit with the Sunday school change, some of the things we're doing, because we have to make, if I can say it like this, an on-ramp for people to grow and serve. And that is the purpose of the church. And I'll just say it like this. The church, which Jesus founded, which he's the cornerstone of, it was never designed to be a spectator event. That is never designed. This is just as an example. That's why we still sing the old hymns. You say, well, we can put the old hymns up on the screen. No, I want you holding that hymn book. Because I want you participating in the service. If you're not participating, you're just a spectator, and that's not what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be participation. Well, if I'll go to church, I just don't want to be a part of anything. What? Church was never designed for you not to be a part of anything. That's one of the great misunderstandings, is that a few people are called to do the work and put on a production, while everyone else is just, my call is just to attend. See, according to this thinking, the pastor preaches, the staff organizes, the teachers teach, the musicians sing, and the congregation watches. But that is not a New Testament pattern. God did not save you just so you could sit in a seat. He did not shed his blood just so you could occupy that place, so you could fight over that seat, that so you get there before somebody else gets there. That's not why he saved you. He saved us so that we could become part of a body. And we know this is true. A body is, and the older you get, the more you understand this, a body is healthy when every part functions. If the heart works but the lungs do not, do we have a healthy body? No. If the eyes work, but the legs don't move, the body can't fulfill its complete purpose. See, it doesn't matter how strong. You see, well, I've got the strongest hand in the world, but I'm paralyzed everywhere else. Well, brag about that hand, but you say, what's the analogy is this. Well, praise God, we got a pastor. Well, that's not a healthy church if just the pastor's participating. And we know this, and we do. And we don't just have that. I'm too lazy to have that to do that. But we don't just operate this way. It's a healthy body. That's what's healthy in a church. We can't have, and this is a reminder, we are very involved as a church, but we can't have a few members carry every burden while everybody else is just observing. If you're newer to the church, I'm just spoiler alert up front. I want to help equip you to do something in the body of Christ, to serve him in some capacity. And by the way, it's not up to us, and I don't think we have this problem, and I'm going to say this so we don't ever have this problem. We don't need people saying, well, I don't think they're worthy to be an usher. I don't think they're worthy to be this and that. Well, you're not worthy to be a member of this church. So that sounds kind of harsh. Hold on. I was handed a button that says, I don't care. So maybe I should just put that on and just go with it tonight, but I better not. The point is, it's not just you aren't worthy. None of us are worthy. We have to get everyone involved, and we've been emphasizing this, and some have failed to grasp. Well, it's easier if I just... No, we're not looking for easy. If it were easy, we'd drop what we believe, and if it was just going to be easy, I wouldn't fight the battles that I fight. I'd throw people under the bus. I'd do whatever, not literally, but that's a figure of speech. We wouldn't do what we do. We're not looking for easy. See, a healthy church does not just gather a crowd. There's a lot of places that gather a crowd, and they call themselves a church, but by scriptural definition, they are not a church. It equips the saints. Don't miss that word. Paul explains God's design in Ephesians 4. The Lord gives leaders to the church, not so those leaders could do all the ministry. You see that in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why is that? For the perfecting or completing or equipping of the saints. Why are we equipping the saints? So we can talk about how smart we are, or we can get so full of ourselves and look down at everybody. No, no, no. For the work of the ministry. As your knowledge of the Bible and as your growth of a Christian increases, so should your work in the ministry. Let me help some of you. I hear some pressure. Prepare yourself. Just because you're not called to full-time Christian service, just because you didn't get a Bible college degree, if you grew up in this church, you should be busy in this church. And there's some who have the mindset, well, I don't work on staff. I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't. But you grew up in the Sunday school. You were in church three times a week. You graduated from the Christian school. You've worked in ministry. You know these things. Many do. I'm not being critical tonight. I'm just pointing out. You're learning those things. You say, well, everybody shouldn't do that. Not, I beg to differ. If you have leaders in through the almost said centuries, which is close, but through the decades, who have taught you the Word of God and equipped you, the purpose is for the work of the ministry. You should take what you're preached and taught, and you should, it's equipment so that you can do the work of ministry. It's pretty clear. Everybody with me? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. That means the goal, what I'm supposed to do is I'm not supposed to perform all the ministry. Leadership's not supposed to do all the ministry. I'm supposed to help prepare God's people to do the work of the ministry. See, if I'm approaching it scripturally, and I believe that I am, if I'm approaching it scripturally, I'm not just preaching three messages a week for the sake of preaching three messages a week. I'm seeking the heart and the mind of God to help equip the people so that you can teach a Sunday school class, so that you can do ministry in a nursing home, so that you can help volunteer at a 12 Stones meeting, so that you can take a new convert and befriend them and be a guide to them. I am supposed to prepare you and equip you. So this is going to help some of you tonight. We may not get out of the introduction. Don't get upset at the pastor doing his job. If you go to Emmanuel, they're going to pressure you. This should be that way at every church. Well, I grew up in an independent Baptist home, and the pressure was just so much. And that pastor, he was such a dictator, and he pressured me to serve God. His preaching was just pressure to serve God. According to what the Bible says, Jesus Christ gave gifts to the church to equip the people of the church to do ministry. All ministry is not the same. We'll look at that, but that is the purpose. It is not my responsibility to do everything. My responsibility is, and we do that, we put, you know, like Sunday night I talked about the text or tradition with the home. We do that in the church as well. Hang on, that series is coming too. But we assign all these things. The pastor's supposed to do this. The pastor's supposed to do this. The pastor's supposed to do this. Well, this is what the pastor's supposed to do. There's other things. Equipping. It's like when you come to church, you come to these Bible studies, it's like, if you could picture it this way, I'm handing you something to help you do something for God. And it's like you're... I'll leave that here and I'll come back. No, we're supposed to do ministry. The goal is, my goal is not to make you dependent on me. Certainly spiritually dependent on Christ, but the goal is to help you become mature, capable, faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me get into the outline because there's many, many points. Number one, a healthy church recognizes that every believer has a place. Notice who this is addressed to. Because sometimes we read passages like this and we think it's for the pastor or for everybody else. But we see verse number 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Notice unto every one of us. God is not gifted only pastors. He's gifted every one of us. He's not gifted just the missionaries or the teachers or the musicians, or I'm not a public speaker. Every believer has received a measure of grace to contribute to the work of Christ. This isn't my message, but let me go and ask the question, what are you doing with your measure of grace? Some may teach, some may encourage. And by the way, don't feel bad if you feel, you don't feel like I'm not doing much if God's called you to a ministry of encouragement. And we all know there's plenty that think they're called to the ministry of discouragement. We need those. Say, Pastor, I just feel like I'm supposed to go around and smile and welcome and greet everybody. I thank God for that. That is a ministry. Every one of us. You say, well, man, my personality, Pastor, if I did that, I'd discourage everybody I talk to. That's just not me. Well, it may not be your measure of grace. So what are you supposed to do? And that's what we do sometimes. Well, I can't do that, so I'm off the hook. No, if God puts everything in the church that we need for the church to do the work of Christ, there's something in this church you're supposed to be doing that God intends for you to do. So if it's not pastoring, and it's not, if it's not some other, I don't have any talent in this area, well, that may not be it. It's up to you, and I'll help you. It's up to you to find something that you can do because as you grow and you get more equipped, you can contribute. See, the gifts may differ, but every member matters. I've heard this through the years, and I do some self-reflection when I hear it, but I bristle at it, just to be honest. Well, there's just nowhere for me to serve. When I hear that, I say, okay, where did we drop the ball? Where did we not get them plugged in? And there are times when it's like, we could have done this, we could have done this, but more times than not, and when I say more times than not, I mean almost every single time, they come in, they sit down, there's something they want to do. Well, we don't really have that need right now, or you don't really have that gift. We say it more diplomatically than that. And it's like, there's nothing here for me to do. I want to go where I can be used. You know what that means? I want to go where I get to choose what I want to do. And it's amazing. God never moves anybody to go where they can be used, and they pull weeds, take out the trash, do anything. It always involves prominence and a platform. And by the way, this isn't my message either, but I rebel at, well, you've got too many people there. They need to go where they can be used. Well, God sent them here. God knew what talent they had. God knew where they were going to grow up. God knew what they needed to do. And God can move them. And just because they're not doing what they may want to do in a particular time and place doesn't mean they're in the wrong place. It might mean they're gifted in one area, but God wants them to serve in another area. Well, I don't have the gift of small children. I know how to help you with that. Stick you in a nursery and lock you in there. You understand what I'm saying tonight. Everybody has a purpose. If you're like that, say, Pastor, I haven't found my place. That doesn't mean you don't fit. It means you haven't found the right thing yet, or there's another point that I'll address this in just a little bit. He wants you to find that place, and then if you're in a place, he wants you to be faithful with where he has placed you. See, what we ought to do as a healthy church, we ought to help everybody who comes to this church find out where they can serve. And let's it's easy for us to say, I can do it. Well, you might can do it, but can somebody walk alongside of you and help as well? Find who they can help. Like, oh, I don't want them helping me. Guess what, brother so-and-so? You have a new helper. Burdens they can carry, abilities, how their abilities can glorify God. We need every member. There's no unnecessary member. So we said a healthy church recognizes that every believer has a place. Number two, a healthy church understands the purpose of spiritual leadership. We already saw this for a little bit in verse number 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. This is obviously the spiritual leadership. These leaders are gifts from Christ to His church. We've already seen this, but I'll recap very quickly. Verse 12 explains why they were given. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word perfecting, as I've already mentioned, it carries the idea of equipping, preparing, bringing something into proper order. The pastor's job, responsibility, is not to do every task in the church. Now let me say this, your pastor's not above doing that. Your pastor has, through the years, has done every job in the church. And sometimes I get lectures, Pastor, let me do that for you. Now, I do have to prioritize what is more important. It's more important for me to pray for you than it is for me to take out the trash. Everybody okay? Although I'm not above taking out the trash. But you understand that. That's not my responsibility to perform every task in the church. Now, some who are in small churches, some who are starting churches, they have to do most things. Until they get some people in the church that are coming part of the church, then they're being equipped to do the ministry. And by the way, let me back up because I just feel like I need to back up a little bit. And as we grow, it's like, I just don't feel like there's any place for me. Anybody who wants to, see, you know, everybody can do this and that. Anybody who wants to start a Sunday school class in their home or in a school, I will let you do that. Everybody okay? Well, I'm just, you know, it's just there's so many people I'm not needed here. Where's your vision? Okay, this is point number two. I got to get back to point number two. We understand the point of the purpose of spiritual leadership. See, if I am going, okay, let me say it this way. We know what that word perfecting means. I'm not to perform every single task. My number one responsibility is to equip the church to fulfill its calling. That is, we find in the book of Acts, Bible study and prayer. Everybody with me? This is all in the Bible if you want to check it out. That is my first responsibility. Nowhere in the Bible does it command me to perform a wedding or a funeral. Let me say, if I'm doing it, now I gladly do those. Don't take that as, oh, pastor has. But if I am going to do a wedding, we're going to do it my way, not your way, just for the record. I am not called to make hospital visits, although I make hospital visits. Please understand what I'm saying and the heart I'm saying it with. My first responsibility, and we once the ministry grows, and I've heard all the criticisms of men like Lee Robertson and Jack Howells from the past, and they were so bigger than the people, and they didn't want to come down to the people. If you pastor 40, you can't understand what it's like to not pastor 40. I'm not minimizing somebody who passes 40, but don't criticize the person who says, I understand my calling, and I've got 42 people in the hospital this week. If I go visit every single one of them, I am going to have nothing for the rest of the people on Sunday morning. Does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
That is what he is called to do, to equip you. Now, if you're going to go in the hospital, pick a week when nobody else is there. Now, don't come to me and say, well, I didn't want to bother you with this or this or this or this. That's why we have deacons in the church. We have staff in the church. If I can't do it, if I feel like I need to do it, I will do it. But I have delegated many times hospital visits. I have delegated funerals. So my responsibility is to preach so believers can become grounded in the faith. I am to teach so that believers can understand truth. I don't say this to mean anything, but just to give you a little insight. It is labor to prepare a message. It is a spiritual, I can't even describe it or explain it. And then when it's done, to feel so empty. Because it is literally life and death. It is literally trying to equip a church. It is allowing God to do something through you. You know, joke all the time, only work one day a week. I'm saying that to say, because we are equipping the church. Now, I don't want you to walk away from here and we have many new people saying, well, Pastor just said he doesn't do anything. Those of you that have been here know I grew up here. I have done every job in the church. I have had every responsibility in the church. I've been the school principal multiple times. I have taught school. I have cleaned the bathrooms. The only thing that I've never done is be the youth director. I got more sense than to do that. But isn't it more important for me to prepare and preach and teach and have a cup of coffee to walk somebody through some important things so mom and dad get grounded? Isn't that more important than me being on a outing with the teen? I think so. I wish I like, well, I don't like spending time with the teens, but I like it when I can do that. But this is my, this. I want you to be helped by knowing what my responsibility is. I want to preach so that people can become grounded. You know, I want to prepare so people can understand truth. That message, please take this the right way. That message I preached last Sunday night, it didn't just get thrown together. There's labor that go into that. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm trying to get you to understand your pastor needs you to take care of what you can take care of as far as ministry. You know, and the people, and I've stepped into a good situation. I mean, you know, this is a church that's got a foundation. I have people who help me. And honestly, I am a much better preacher than you. I'm not as good of a preacher as you think I am. I'm a better preacher because I don't have to do anything else on those church days. I know the music's taken care of. I know who's going to be on key, who's going to be off key. I know the building is going to be open. I know the building is going to be cleaned. I know there's going to be order in the parking lot. I know Sergeant Rep Logo is going to be at the nursery desk. I mean, I know everything is ready to go. So when I walk in, my mind is focused on equipping, 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 equipping. Now, if it wasn't that way, I would work hard for it to be that way. You say, well, so you have a, I'm saying this, you have a part in this. You determine a lot how good of a preacher and teacher your pastor is. Because when you take somebody in and disciple them, when you call somebody to make sure they're coming on Sunday, when you find out why somebody missed, when you take the point and say, I'm going to take ownership of that right there, then the pastor doesn't have to focus on that. And what is it? The church is doing what it's supposed to do. I preached a couple of Sunday nights ago on the church, birthing a church, and how I'm going to do some traveling to help that church, get that church plant going and different things. Why can I do that? Because there's a mature church that has been equipped, that the pastor doesn't have to be here Monday and Tuesday to babysit everything. So don't minimize what you're doing. Well, I just do this. You know, it's we got to, how in the world is anything operating up there? I look up there and we got men who do the live stream. You know, people are watching that live stream tonight from all over the world. There are people watching live stream tonight that don't have a church in their town. You say, Pastor, how long did it take you to organize that and lay it out? Let me explain it to you. I'll take the time to do this. When COVID came in, I went, Wilson, I need live stream Saturday. Can you handle it? Yes, sir. That's what I know about it. And many times I get texts or I get, hey, Pastor, the live stream was out last week. What? I was like, I forgot we still had live stream. What's your point? The point is that you're doing ministry. Keeping the nursery is not just a slot to keep you busy. It is ministry. And we ought to be continue growing. So why? We can do more ministry. I've got to hasten a healthy church. If a pastor is doing what he should do, in my opinion, He corrects so believers can mature. He trains so believers can serve. I'm not trying to get people to depend on me. How can I prepare these people to serve the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully? And by the way, that kind of pastoral leadership, if I can say this tonight, it multiplies ministry. See, unhealthy leadership bottlenecks. And let me just say, I've worked hard for the last several years to remove a bottleneck. And let me also say, I'm asking permission, it's rhetorical permission. There's many in the church, we still need some in the church to step up. Don't have this mindset, well, I know so-and-so, but if pastor asks, I will do it. If God has commanded you, you don't need pastor to ask you. And he has commanded all of us to be part of the Great Commission, which includes discipleship, which includes being a witness. He's commanded all of us to serve him. Everybody all right out there? So y'all had to, I might get to point three tonight, maybe. We're in point two. Some of y'all have had to get used to Brother Cheney. I'm still getting used to Brother Cheney. We love the Cheneys. We're glad the Cheneys are here. But you've had to get used to it because Brother Cheney, part of his responsibility is to do exactly what I'm preaching tonight, help me equip. It's, Pastor, you got to write more books. You got to preach more. You got to get out more. There's missions, things you can do. But you also have to let us ask you every question. You've got to make every decision in every Sunday school class. You've got to make every decision in every department. You've got to do every... You're the pastor, and nobody else is the pastor, and you've got to be, and there's no way I can do all of that. Because by the way, your pastor's still trying to reach his potential. I'm still trying to do everything God has called me to do. And so you can't keep me from becoming what God wants me to be. And so eventually a ministry gets to the point, and if we're fulfilling Ephesians chapter number 4, there are others who are equipped. Now, there's some things the pastor does need to know. And there's some things, and Brother Cheney has only been there a few years. He doesn't realize, he doesn't know everything we do. He's learning. He's learning who's grumpy, all those things. But he's good about bringing things to me. And then there's sometimes I hear things like, yeah, wait, that's not what we're not doing that. But we can't have, does this make sense tonight? I can't disciple every new convert. We're commanded to do this so that we're a healthy. If I'm fulfilling my responsibility and I'm using the Word of God, there ought to be people who can do ministry, and it shouldn't have to come through me. Everybody, let me say this: it shouldn't take. We should get to 1,000 in Sunday school fast. Well, I'm going to be praying for you, Pastor. There's some of you, and you know who you are, and if some of you are going to say, Pastor, I'm brokenhearted, I want to do it, but my health won't permit it. But there's some of you that you ought to be bringing people to church on Sunday. Well, I mentioned 6 years ago that I wanted to work on a bus. Well, how about this? I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of research because of a big book project that I want to do, and it includes from the founding of the Independent Baptist movement to now, and you find story after story after story of people who said, I'm going to go out and I'll sell some things, I'll work an extra job, and they buy a bus and they pull up in the parking lot and say, Pastor, I'm ready to start a bus route. But we're going to wait on you, Pastor, to get it ready so that you can get it all set up. And I might as well go knock the doors and sign everybody up and bring them myself. Oh, boy. I'm not wrong. The great churches, it's not just the pastor who does it. It's the people who do it. There's some of you, you are equipped, you're running. Oh, where's my I don't care button? I better get that back out. You're running 5, but you've been equipped, you can run 10. You've been equipped to start a Sunday school class, but you're not. Well, Pastor, whenever you get, do you not see people in your neighborhood? Most of you, if not the vast majority of you, I have no idea where you live. Don't come to me after and say, Pastor, I live. Now, if you're going to cook me dinner and have a key, we can talk. The point I'm making is I don't drive down your streets. I don't see those people in your neighborhood. You've been equipped and are getting equipped to be a witness to those people. Part of going along with this is you got to study your leader. See, you wait and you're like, well, I don't want to get out from, and by the way, the things I'm talking about, you still do it under the structure and the authority of the church. But if you studied your leader, you would better be able to help your leader. Well, I know you like tacos. That's a good start. I know football season's coming. You're a Georgia Bulldog fan. That's a good start. But if you studied me, you'd learn me. You really listen to the preaching. Pastor, write some books. You're not reading them. Read the books. Read the articles. If you studied me, you got to know me. And by the way, there's two ways you can study your pastor, two purposes. You can study him to try and find his flaws, which you won't have to study hard, so that you can try and exploit them. Or you can study him to learn him so you can help serve alongside of him. How does pastor think? What little things does he do? When this doesn't go as scheduled, what shade of red does his face get from the frustration? And if you study, you learn how to serve. How many times have you heard me throw out in the last 2 years, "Well, if anybody would ever want to start a Sunday school class, you know my heart"? And don't do that because I said that tonight. We ought to do it because the Spirit of God impresses upon you. Now, somebody's going to come to me tonight, and you're going to say, I feel like I'm going to do it. And I'm going to say, well, you need to wait till we get to point number 4, which we're not going to get to tonight, I don't think. But I hesitate. I mean, this isn't the most comfortable points to make because it seems self-serving. But it's not. It's his church. He placed me as the pastor. I didn't pick it. He did. You know, God brought you here. I didn't bring you here. This is the perfecting, the equipping. Why? So that we can go and do his work. So I am teaching and training and trying to equip so that we can all grow to the point. Now I'm equipped that I can go do ministry. Isn't it an awesome thought to think that you can serve God? You can do ministry. You can stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be found faithful and have something to show. Isn't that a wonderful thought that it's not just for the pastor or the missionary? It's not your talent that determines that. See, a healthy church distributes that ministry, does these things within the biblical oversight. Let me see if I can give you number 3. A healthy church moves people from attendance to service. For some of you tonight, you're getting in that habit of faithfulness to attend, of attendance. I'm grateful for that. It's exciting to me. But that's not the end as far as God's intent for you and your pastor's goal for you. Verse 12 speaks of the work of the ministry. It's not the play of the ministry. Ministry is work. It requires faithfulness. It requires sacrifice. It requires preparation, consistency, endurance. See, the church was never intended to be a place where we just get and receive. It's a place where we can also, yes, we get, but it's a place where we can also give. And when I say give, I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about giving of ourselves. And by the way, when you need encouragement, don't stay out of church. Get to church. You need to be, if you've been saved for 150 years, you still need to be fed spiritually. Come for that. But eventually when you come, it's like, well, I want to encourage somebody. My pastor's been talking about these projects, and pastor's been talking about these goals. I wonder what else I can pray for. I wonder where else I can serve. What burden can I help carry? I'm going to listen, and the opening prayer, there's usually a prayer request. Pray for, I'm coming to church with anticipation to see what's burdened the heart of the pastor enough to bring a request to the people so that I can hear that and say, Pastor, I'm carrying that burden with you. If we're honest, We nod our head, we're concerned, but we don't take that upon ourselves because we don't think either we're supposed to or we're able to. That's a different mindset. An unhealthy church just creates consumers. A healthy church is trying to create servants. Are you a consumer or are you a servant? A consumer asks, well, what does this church offer me? I just feel like I've gotten everything from this church I can get. Well, it tells me you're a consumer. Did I receive enough attention today at church? Well, that lines right up that he might have the preeminence. Was everything convenient? I've said this before, and I'll say it, and you understand why I'm saying it. As we grow, things are going to be inconvenient, and I love the inconvenience because it means we're growing. It means we're reaching people. Well, Pastor, you don't have to wait in that ladies' restroom line. No, I don't. But it's worth waiting in a line because people are getting saved and added to the church. This perspective is a great word for us to live life with. A servant asks, who needs encouragement? Where can I help? What can I do? How can I strengthen this church? I remind you what even the Lord said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Can I get one more in? Number four. I only have 10 total. We'll pick up later with the rest, but let me give you number four. A healthy church equips before it assigns. See, the equip, we know the goal, the gift, the purpose, the goal. Let me get my text back out. We know what the responsibility is, why the gift is there, the perfecting of the saints. So it's more than just all saying, well, I'm just going to do whatever pastor said, so I'm just going to go. He wants people to do it, I'm just going to do it. No, you have to be prepared as well. Well, I'll give some examples of this that might make some people uncomfortable. Say, well, I feel like God wants me to be a part of the music ministry, and I feel like God's gifted me to be a soloist. Well, great, join the choir. Well, that's not exactly what I meant by that. God didn't, well, you might want to get some equipping. Well, I know more than like blah, 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 blah. I don't care. But what you might not understand, you may hit every note. You may have all these gifts of God, but you may not understand a thing about church music. You may not understand the spirit that you ought to sing with before the pastor gets up to preach. There's some things you need to be equipped with. Jesus did not send his disciples into the world without training them. Part of that training is he taught them, he corrected them. And by the way, if those disciples had not let the Lord correct them, now, you may not be able to, you may not offer this tonight. I'm going to offer it. I'm going to offer the fact that Peter, James, and John were better men than I am. Thank you for not saying amen. But it's true. We probably would all submit that. If you're back there saying, well, yeah, we're going to go ahead and lump you in, Judas. But we've read some of their thinking. Jesus saying, hey, this is what I want you to know. And they're always saying, oh, I know what he's talking about. We're doing this and this. And the Lord's got to be thinking, you idiots. But he corrected them. He allowed them to observe him. Then gave them opportunities to serve. Then he reviewed what they went through. feeding of the 5,000 is a good example. He's teaching some lessons, and then he gets the go find what everybody's got. We have a lad with a lunch. He takes it, he breaks it, then he says, serve. He equipped before he sent them. If they had nothing to go serve, what's the point of them serving? Then it was all over. He taught them the lessons from it. Before Peter is preaching Pentecost, before they're turning the world upside down, they sat at the feet of Jesus, and he had to deal with these stubborn, carnal, rough, tough fishermen, tax collectors, and he molded them. And how did he do it? He didn't just tap them on the forehead and equip them. He did it the same way he does it today. He, being the Word, taught them the Word. He corrected them with the Word. He allowed them to observe Him. I would submit to you that Peter had power in prayer. I would submit to you that John, the Revelator, had some inside access. You say, oh, could you imagine? I know there were times when the Lord was praying and they fell asleep, but could you imagine being in His presence when Jesus Himself said, Abba? Could you imagine? He allowed them to observe Him. Then He said, what are the lessons that we get from this? We've got to change this mindset among Christian people. And when somebody gets an X on their paper, we're not patient enough to say, what's the lesson to learn? Or when we have a victory, what's the lesson to learn? See, if we're going to be a healthy church, we have to teach people to study the Bible, to teach a lesson, to witness. Say, Pastor, I want to teach one of those Sunday school classes. Put it in my heart, and God spoke to me about it. Okay, let's get equipped. If we're going to teach a Sunday school class, we should probably first go to a Sunday school class. Let's get equipped. And there's something, I'm ready. I know we have some teachers sitting in classes not teaching right now, and you're ready. And the time is going to come when it's, let's go do it. But we have to get out of the mindset of, Pastor, give me a class to teach. And let's get a little more of a mindset, let me go find a class to teach. That doesn't mean you walk into somebody else's class, get out, I found a class. But you have to be equipped. Let me challenge some of you young men. I'm not minimizing what you know. Your character, your value. But if you're going to offer yourself to be used by God in any significant way, you have to be equipped. Well, if I get a title in a staff phone in a parking place, I'm equipped. No. You're just a more proud version of stupid. You say, why would you say that? I don't care. No, because I've been there. I've been a Bible college graduate coming out, going to reach the world for Christ. Look out. And I still had to be equipped. You may have a lot of knowledge, but do you have that experience? You can have on paper. This is what you say when you're at the home of someone whose loved one just died, but until you're there, and it's somebody you love, and it's somebody you've known yourself as the pastor for 30 years, and it's like, how am I going to comfort when I need comfort? There's got to be an equipping. We got to know how to disciple a convert. We got to know how to counsel biblically. Does this make sense? That's why we can't just assign, and somebody joins the first Sunday, and I get these meetings a lot, say, I want to come, what will you allow me to do? I'm like, okay, get a pen out. You can come to Sunday school. Then come to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, I want to serve. Can I serve in A, B, and C? Okay, let me tell you what you do. How about there's an old saying, I don't know if you've heard it, cart before horse. Once you're part of the body, then the pastor's going to get a better feel of where you fit in the body. Right now, you're a foreign body trying to figure out where you fit. The pastor doesn't have any understanding where you might fit. I don't know your equipping. Well, I've been in church for 12 years. I've seen some of these churches. And see, you say, and sometimes this will help some of you, and I am almost done. I like that word, almost. Don't miss this because of time. And if you're weary tonight, please, please stay with me because this is so important for our church. Sometimes the pastor, you say, I think I'm ready, and the pastor says, not yet. Say, but I've been saved this long, I've been in church. I understand that. But God might have something different for you that you don't have the right equipment for. Or God might have something bigger than you're thinking, and you're not quite equipped for that which He has for you. So part of my responsibility as your pastor is to equip you for whatever God has for you, however you serve. You see, Pastor, do you know what God's going to do with everybody? I do not. But I have learned in my years of experience to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. When He impresses a certain way, or He puts a pause, He knows. So what do you do when you sense that? My responsibility is to keep equipping. Well, Pastor, I want to serve. Okay, God hasn't opened the door for you yet. Keep getting equipped. You get in your Bible. You get involved in everything that you can get involved in. I'm not just trying to fulfill positions. It's developing people. See, taking the time to train and prepare is not a lack of spirituality. It's not. You know, I hesitate to say this at all, but I'm going to say it, and you'll know why I hesitate when I say it. I've never had to have surgery. Now, I'm going to have 6 in the next 12 days. To God be the glory. Say, well, don't feel, come pat me on the back. The way my knees feel, I have them in my future. But if I ever do, I don't want a surgeon that was eager to get through medical school. And I understand what some of you older folks have been saying. Hey, all these kids look like they're babies now. At 52, I'm starting to understand that. And when the doctor walks in and he looks like a child, it's like, show me your ID. Show me your ID. No, you sit here and wait for me. Show me your ID. You get what I'm saying? The work of God is standing between the living and the dead. I've been at this thing for quite a while now. I've got some experience. But the longer I'm at it, the greater a hunger and desire there is inside of me. Equip me more. Equip me more. And I've learned that as God allows me as your pastor to be used to equip His people, it equips the ministry and in turn helps me. Let me close with this. As you grow it forces me to grow. Because as your leader, I'm not supposed to lead from the back of the pack. So as you are being equipped and you're growing, it's like, man, some of these people have been saved longer than I've been alive. I got to study. They're going to know. And that's not the right time to say, I don't care. You understand what I'm saying? The Emmanuel Baptist Church is a special place. It is a place of spiritual depth, maturity, and understanding that quite frankly, many critics have no understanding of. Many of them, I would not let them teach a children's Sunday school class. They don't have the spiritual depth to do it. But they're a pastor. I don't care. Why is that? Because it's the right mindset. Equip, equip, equip. And as the church body is more and more equipped, it forces. I can't go to all of the activities and do everything because you're too equipped. So my responsibility is to keep teaching and pushing us to grow. So we have to pray. We have to sacrifice. We have to be reminded that there's a million souls in Jacksonville who need to be reached with the gospel. Pastor, how are we going to do that? I guess we better get equipped. I guess we better stay in the Word of God. Spiritually healthy church equips. Part two. Next Thursday, Father, help us to